Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, Diego? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour in about 38 minutes from now, former NFL MVP, former Super Bowl quarterback Rich Gannon, member of the NFL on CBS. We'll talk to Rich about the resurgent Oakland Raiders. I thought their season was over at 1-2. I thought that the highlight of the Oakland Raiders season was going to be either A, beating the Broncos in that opening Monday night, or B, knocking on desks. All right, guys, I need some football players. Knock if you're with me. Knock if you're with me. Knock if you're with me. I thought that was going to be definitely the highlight of the 2019 Oakland Raiders, and the NFL Films season in review would be called Knock If You're With Me. But lo and behold, they're 3-2. And the Raiders have some juice. And maybe I'm going to be eating Silver and Black Crow. We'll talk to Rich Gannon about that coming up later on in the hour. Let's talk ALCS tonight. Game number 4 after the rainout last night. And A.J. Hinch has decided to flip his plans. Before the rainout happened last night, Hinch had said game 4 would be a bullpen game. Now, let me start here. I think bullpen games of the playoffs stink. I think this whole thing is so ludicrous. What we are saying is give peace a chance. We are saying that you only need 4 arms in the playoffs. Just 4. We don't even have a 5-game or 5-player rotation anymore. 5-pitch rotation. We don't even have 4. In the playoffs, we're down to 3 pitchers we trust, and that's it. That stinks. That really stinks. Because if all you have is 3 pitchers, and that's all you trust, then okay, 3-man rotation, they've got to pitch every 3 days. But the idea that today we have so few, such a dearth of decent starting pitchers that we trust that we have to put in the hands of the bullpen an entire playoff game stinks. This is also an Astros team that has maybe the greatest bounty of starting pitchers that there is. To have Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, and they still don't have a 4th arm? Bring back Uncle Rufus. They still don't have a 4th arm that they trust. This is the first problem. The second problem is that we live in a day and age where bullpens are so effective that it actually presents a better option analytically by these franchises to throw out bullpens. I mean, think about the regular season. If you were like, yep, you're going to go out to the ballpark today and you're going to see 6 relievers. No starting pitchers, 6 relievers. You'd be like, oh, what a waste of time. That's happening in the playoffs. So the gunslinger on the hill, the big game pitcher, the Schilling or Randy Johnson, the Justin Verlander, the Bob Gibson, the Jack Morris. These guys, yeah. On the days you don't pitch, we're just going to have a bunch of relievers. Stinks. But this is where we are because bullpens are really effective because a lot of guys are throwing lots of heat because analytics has enhance the effectiveness of the bullpens because they can actually micromanage every single matchup. And it erodes so much of the drama. I mean, imagine this. We get to the AFC Championship game, and instead of Brady versus Mahomes, the offensive coordinator has five different quarterbacks that all run three plays effectively and just keep rotating them in and out. Oh, we're going to run the deep post. Okay, bring in quarterback one. We're going to run the option out. Quarterback two comes in. Oh, now we've got third and long. This is where quarterback three comes in. It would just suck so much of the drama and the interest out of the proceeding. And this is what we have. Bullpen games. So A.J. Hinch was going to do this in game number four. And instead, he says, you know what? After the rainout, let's go to Greinke. Let's go to Greinke. Game four. Game five, we'll go to Verlander. And then if we get to 6 and 7, one of those will be the bullpen game. Now, here's where strategically this could be very dicey for A.J. Hinch. Greinke does not have good number to the postseason. Greinke got lit up by the Rays of the first round. Greinke on the road, Yankee Stadium, seems like a pretty scary bet. And if you blow Greinke and this game, you might as well have just put out the bullpen game at the sacrificial lamb and held off on using Greinke until later on, maybe at home in 6 or 7. Probably, preferably 6, where if he's going to lose anyway tonight in the Bronx, why use his arm? Instead, line up Verlander 5, maybe Greinke 6, and then Cole 7. Instead, A.J. Hinch is saying, I want to seize control of this series now and not basically punt away a game. Which, again, stinks, because the idea then is we don't have a good fourth arm, so we might as well just put the bullpen guys out there, and already we're compromised. We probably won't win that game in the Bronx. I see what he's doing. A.J. Hinch is saying, I've got a 2-1 series lead. I want to keep applying the pressure to the Yankees. I don't want to just give them a game and let them get right back in it. And a 2-2 series is way different than 3-1. So let me go out and try to win this game right now. 3-1. Damn the torpedoes. If we're up 3-1, it's almost game, set, match, because they've got to win 3 in a row and 6 and 7. And I still have Verlander and Cole. That's what he's thinking here. Apply the pressure. Don't give up the lead in the series. I get it. But this is all dependent on whether Greinke does not melt into a puddle tonight. And I don't know if that's realistic. I mean, this would be the greatest middle finger and stick it up the you-know-what if you're Greinke. You've always been questionable in the playoffs. In this case, this postseason, you don't have any velocity anymore. It's all about pitch location and movement and setting up batters, and this would be the greatest, hey, I'm still here for Zach Greinke. But is Greinke wired to go out there and shut down those bats in the Bronx on a crazy atmosphere where the Yankees absolutely have to have this game? It's really dicey. I will say, part of me thinks that Greinke's just going to get lit up tonight, and he's going to leave after 3 1/3 of 6-run baseball. Part of me wonders if this is not Eli Manning, where you kind of don't know what he's thinking. He looks kind of hunky-dory, howdy-doody. His answers are really bland and vanilla. You can't tell there's any intensity behind the eyes, but that he goes out there in a blood-boiling situation and just grooves. Could be an Eli Manning situation, Mraz, and in that case, now your oinks are up you-know-what oink creek without a paddle.
You are really, really reaching there. If you think that somehow Zach Greinke is going to outduel one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time in his building tonight.
Now we're calling Tanaka one of the greatest postseason pitchers ever.
Have you paid attention to the numbers?
I have, but can we really compare them to guys like Bob Gibson and Jack Morris and Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax?
Well, it's him, Sandy Koufax, and Mariano Rivera, the three greatest postseason pitchers of all time. So Look, I mean,
I think
you,
there's
you guys
a bit
can
of a drop off.
You guys can laugh and roll your eyes all you want. That's just dem facts when it comes to Masahiro Tanaka.
Uh-huh, dem facts.
So, look, the series is already 2-2. I mean, frankly, we could all shut our eyes tonight by 8:30 and we know we wake up and we know what happens. Game's over. We have Verlander pitching in the Bronx in a Game 5, not pitching at home in Houston. Look, he could beat the Yankees. Sure, he could. I don't think he will because the game's at Yankee Stadium. And then when the Yankees win that game, hopefully they do win the game. Now Gerrit Cole has to come back on 3 days rest to save the Astros season. And if he happens to do that, well, you're just prolonging the inevitable in a Game 7 versus a bullpen game. So,
well, look, maybe you could throw the bullpen game in Game 6 and let Cole rest until 7.
But why would you do that if you're facing elimination? Then you're punting.
Well,
you're punting on your season.
Because then at least you have Cole on full rest.
But if you lose the game, it won't matter that you have Cole on full rest. You only could pitch that if the Verlander wins. Then you could throw the bullpen game in Game 6. But Verlander probably is not going to win at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
If bottom line is this.
Verlander wins, is what
right.
I'm saying.
Bottom line is this. The Astros need to find a way to win this game tonight. They won't. If they do
they
win.
They need to.
If they do
they,
win this.
They lead the series, by the way.
Yeah, but this is the series for them.
This is the series.
Because if they
have Game 6 and 7 at home. Guaranteed.
Without Verlander at home. If they lose this game tonight, it is the last weekend of baseball for Houston Astros fans this year.
Oh,
and they better start focusing on Deshaun Watson and Butch Chin McGee because it is over. Must win for the Astros tonight.
Must win.
Must win.
Up 2-1 with Game 6 and Game 7 guaranteed at home.
Yankee win tonight and this series is over.
Is over.
O-V-E-R. Over.
Okay. All right. Well, as oinky as that is, there's actually an oinkier fan at Yankee Stadium. This was from game number 3. And this is in really good seats, lower level. This was audio that was in video that was circulating on social media yesterday. Imagine paying hundreds of dollars, I'm sure, in the postseason, maybe thousands of dollars for these seats around this guy. And this guy's a Yankee fan. Let's play this audio. You tell me how annoyed you would be at the oinking here.
Me. I will not sit with two outs in the American League Championship
Good luck.
Series.
Everybody around him is sitting. Everybody around him is just like murmuring to themselves, talking. And this guy is trying to rally the crowd, yelling, stand up! This is the series! Two outs! I will not be silenced! I will not sit down! I mean, really defined in the face of his fellow Yankee fans.
Get up!
Now, at this point,
let's go!
At this point, do you take a cue from your surroundings, or do you really try to get everybody into it?
No, sit down. Sit down. And also, just from watching the video, it is daylight there, which means this is like the first or second inning.
Right.
Number two, if you're a real baseball fan, you don't say we're playing Cole. You're facing Cole. Nobody outside of Rob Manfred calls it the American League Championship Series. You call it the ALCS. Number three.
Well, maybe it was just for dramatic effect.
Number three, I would bet any amount of money he did not pay for his ticket. He had tickets handed to him. For him to say, I don't know why you'd pay for these tickets and then not sit down, as if he's, you know, Mr. Millionaire out there paying for the legend suites behind home plate.
Why are you thinking that?
Just his look. He has a look.
He has
of,
a look. He has didn't a, pay.
Yeah, he has a look of somebody who would get free seats. I've been tipped off to a rumor of a certain job he might work.
Oh, really? You got inside information on a fellow swine?
Yes. I believe,
uh-huh.
If my sources are correct, this person is a member of the TV production team
of
Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Really?
Which means, and they do a great job there, so he's probably a nice guy, but come on. There's no way you didn't get, my guess is you know a good sponsor, those are CBS tickets or something, for you to call out other people for paying for tickets down there. And like, honestly, at that point, I don't mind you getting up. You should get up on. I think that's great. I hate the guy who tells other fans
yeah,
how to act.
Demands it.
He's just as bad as the fan who would yell at him down in front.
Yeah.
Get up on two outs. Great. Hope other people join you. To yell at other fans what they should be doing in the second inning of the American League Championship game while you're playing Gerrit Cole. Dude, learn baseball lingo and just stand up and shut up.
I like your point that him demanding other people to stand up is just as bad as people demanding him to sit down.
Correct.
If he wants to stand up and he wants to cheer, fine, and clap and whatever. But scolding others for not doing what you're doing is the worst kind of fan.
Let fans be fans the way they want to be. Don't get mad if they boo. Don't get mad when they cheer. Don't tell them to sit down. Don't tell them to stand up. You behave the way you want to behave, and if somebody tells you to sit down, you tell them, no, I paid for my ticket. I'm doing what I want with it. That's the handshake agreement when you go to a game. You behave the way you want to be. Now, don't fight anybody or curse each other out, but that shouldn't have to be said. Don't bark orders at other people.
Okay, Bilotti, can we play the audio again? This is the only oinker more oinky. We found finally somebody more oinky than Mraz.
Everybody! We gotta get up. We're playing cold. This is the game right here. Get up! Let's go! I don't understand. I don't understand why you beat all these tickets if you don't want to win the game. I don't understand. Could it be me? Would it be me? Shall not be me. I will not sit with two outs in the American League Championship
Good luck.
Series.
It shall not be me. That's a tough line from a fan.
See, and that's the other thing about that. When he says that, too, this feels an awful lot like I'm trying to be funny here and I'm not being serious, where it's, again, it's the ALCS, dude. It's not time for the center stage and you or the jokes. Shut up.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got an early cut line, the story that did not make the cut because we've got Rich Gannon in the final segment. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get up! Let's go!
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Good morning. Enjoy your show immensely. I mean that sincerely, DA. I don't know what age bracket you're in, your 50s, maybe early 50s.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
If I'm still doing this 10 or 12 years from now and we're still playing the same rejoin, then finally that rejoin will actually be accurate. 24 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dosh Show, every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. Remember that we have Sunday morning football as well. I see you every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific. And we talk all things college football from Saturday and preview NFL action on Sunday. The Team of the Week brought to you by Ferguson. This week's team, the Washington Nationals, sweeping the Cardinals to reach their first World Series in franchise history, including when they were the Expos. The Nats were a now infamous 12 games under 500 in May, 19-31. And without Bryce Harper, who had signed with the Phillies. And now they went from wild card winner to divisional round winner to NLCS winner and the pennant awaiting the winner of Yankees and Astros. They are brought to you by Ferguson today. Hey, trade pros, Ferguson, proud to be part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop shop counter locations, expert associates, and an unmatched selection of OEM repair parts. Learn more at Ferguson.com. Today's been a good show. Very proud of today's show. We've got Rich Gannon, who's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. We'll talk NFL with Rich and the resurgent Oakland Raiders. But first, we've got an early cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
You know, we all know that in Washington, Dan Snyder is the biggest problem, but so few people that have worked for him will ever verbalize that. Mostly it comes from media and outside observers. But Kyle Shanahan essentially said it. The Niners will be taking on Washington. Kyle Shanahan, a former Niners assistant, former Washington assistant, rather, under his dad, Mike Shanahan, when he was the coach in Washington. Shanahan was the OC between 2010 and 2013. And Shanahan was asked yesterday what his favorite part of his time in Washington was. Quote, being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches. He was asked the worst part, everything else. After a pause, Kyle Shanahan did admit that he liked working with a lot of the players, but he said that it was a while ago. I've been in three different buildings since. My dad retired. He's good. We've accepted what we had to deal with there and moved on. We'll watch other people deal with it. I mean, that's a pretty striking condemnation of Dan Snyder, that organization, the dysfunction there. We'll watch other people deal with it. Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure, is still salty about how his dad was treated there. But it does speak to what every coach feels. And every coach feels like there's too many differing voices or directions, or an owner that thinks he knows more than he does, or is impatient, or hires the wrong people, or who surrounds himself with yes men. I mean, that's what Bruce Allen is right now. Bruce Allen is a lackey for Dan Snyder. And when Bruce Allen is trying to survive himself, he's going to push all the blame on the coaches and the GMs. And I just love that Kyle Shanahan's calling it out. And what we need is more people to not be afraid to call out people that they've worked for in the NFL and sports in general. You know, everybody's kind of trying to save their own hide, and a lot of coaches will not call out former owners because they don't want to be looked at as somebody that could be a problem down the road. And if you fire them, what are they going to say about you? And are they going to be tough to deal with? And we need more people that have worked within that organization to be honest. Dan Snyder's a mess. That organization is a problem. Here's why. And only then, that's the only hope for Washington fans, is if people on the inside start saying, I got out and here's the problem.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
The Angels have hired Joe Maddon to be their next manager. And Joe Maddon has an enormous challenge in his hands. I mean, number one, he's been gifted the greatest treasure in the game today, and that's Mike Trout in his prime. And Mike Trout has never won a playoff game, let alone series. So Joe Maddon now has the responsibility. You got to get Mike Trout to October. And I'm sure the league is saying, get Mike Trout to October. Number two, they have the Tyler Skaggs death that is just holding over this organization. And if this happened in the NFL, if you had a player die from an overdose and it was found out that a team employee, part of the PR department, was buying the player the drugs and using with him, and that multiple people in the organization knew about the player's addiction and drug use, and he remained on the team, this would be one of the biggest stories in sports. And because it happened in baseball to a team that does not make the playoffs, we're not talking about it. This is an enormous story. You have an entire PR department knowing and helping one of the players do hard drugs, and he overdoses from it in the middle of the season. These are the moments that Rob Manfred and baseball should be happy that they're baseball. These are the moments that they should not resent not being in the NFL, because if this was the NFL or even the NBA, this would be an enormous story, and Joe Maddon has to try to pick up the pieces on all of that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
When we come back here on the show, we've got Rich Gannon, NFL on CBS. We'll talk to him about the AFC, and namely, can we believe in the Raiders at 3-2? That's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. There's a brand new PGP that is out, the Permission Granted Podcast. This week, we discuss Merez and where his lack of general knowledge comes from after yesterday's Tigers have short tails, Bears have long ones. We also go inside my trip to Clemson with my friend Penns, who I made the trip with, and we grade out compared to all of our other college football road trips where the Clemson one ranks, and some did-you-know moments of games that we've seen together in our college football road trips of the last decade plus. Part of the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show, available all places podcasts are available, including on the normal DA Show iTunes feed. John's next up. He's in Houston listening to CBS Sports Radio 650 there. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, D.A. You know, I want to comment on the Robbie Rosenhaus situation. At first, I was just going to tell you, stick to your guns.
Yeah.
But it looks like Robbie might be coming apart at the seams. I mean, he's willing to do anything to get back on the show, so we might have to do a compassion waiver just to for his mental health and well-being.
It's not a bad point, John. As Robbie texted me earlier this week, he was so offended, distraught, that Mraz claimed that the Vikings would then go 7-9. He said, if the Vikings go 8-8 or 7-9, I vow to fly myself out to Minnesota, wear nothing but a purple Speedo, stand out front of U.S. Bank Stadium, home of the Vikings, holding a Ned Flanders poster. We call Kirk Cousins Ned Flanders around here. That, to me, seems like a pretty dramatic bet that he's willing to do that. And maybe it's true. Maybe he desperately wants back on the show. But if he's willing to put that on the line, I think we need to at least think about it. And one thing that at least is on the table is perhaps, and nothing has been written in stone yet, nothing has been cleared through Congress yet, but one thing that is possible is if Robbie's willing to do that for 8-8 or a 7-9 season, the flip side would be if the Vikings make the playoffs, then he gets a 3-episode arc of Part of the Indigestion, which would be a debate-style roundtable between him and Mraz regarding both sports and food. 3 episodes within the DA show. Let's just say 1 segment. It's a rapid fire, ding, ding, ding. Kind of like a PTI of the original version, but a Part of the Indigestion for 3 episodes. 3 weekly episodes.
You're like Seinfeld trying to pitch that Jerry sitcom to any channel that'll listen.
Compassion waiver. They should have one for us having to deal with this guy. This guy's a work ethic of a tuba, and he's constantly in here in our face for like 2 years.
The work ethic of a tuba. Falco tweets, DA, my son Falco Jr. loves your show. He would like to know if he can get a beam up. Absolutely, Falco Jr. I'd like that name. Hashtag, how could it happen? The Jacksonville Jaguars trade away one of their best players, Jalen Ramsey. They get 2 number ones in return, but how will the Jaguars now fare? Are they worse off for it or better now that that's in the past? Our next guest is going to be on the call for the Jaguars as they take on the winless Bengals this weekend, a member of the NFL on CBS team, our friend Rich Gannon. Rich, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always good to catch up with you. And what's your vibe on the Jalen Ramsey situation? Are you for the player empowerment of it, or does it leave you feeling queasy because he was able to basically pout his way out of town and get his way?
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like to see when players get rewarded for bad behavior, and I just think that's exactly what took place here. He didn't like the situation in Jacksonville. I don't know if he had an issue with the position coach or the head coach, teammates, or whatever, but clearly he didn't want to be there. And then, of course, he comes up with the issue with his back. I'm not suggesting that there weren't any issues, but certainly I think he could have played over the last 3 weeks, and now we're hearing that he's going to be able to play this week. So he must have gotten a hold of a really good doctor, some really good treatment to be able to turn around that quickly. But that's disappointing to be able to really walk away from your teammates. And, my history with players like that is it usually, a change of scenery doesn't always work out, And I think you look at the Marcus Peters situation, didn't work out for him in Kansas City, didn't work out for him with the Rams. It may not work out for him in Baltimore.
Seems like Doug Marrone's frustrated that he's been on the front lines having to talk about this, and Tom Coughlin has not addressed this. And Marrone kind of had a snippy comment like, well, it would be nice if we could have somebody down here that could talk about it. Do you think Marrone has a right to gripe that Coughlin has not spoken publicly about it?
No. It's a job as the head coach. They have a system there in place. And I think, Tom Coughlin makes himself available periodically during the course of a year. I think typically during the season, I think he defers to the head coach. I think they have meetings every day, so clearly the messaging should be pretty consistent. But, look, I think Doug Marrone's frustrated because they're 2-4. The defense hasn't been as dominant. Obviously, they're without the starting quarterback. But they're an inconsistent football team. They start off with 2 straight losses. They get a couple wins against some teams that have had some issues, and now they they lose two straight. You know, and if you really boil it down, it's as simple as turnovers. In their four losses, they have seven giveaways, no takeaways. In their two wins, they have no giveaways and two takeaways. So that's really been the difference. When they take care of the football, they're pretty competitive.
Rich Gannon joins us from the NFL on CBS. Now, you had the Ravens last week, and outside of the Patriots, there's this second class in the AFC. The Ravens are part of that. The Chiefs are part of that. The Texans. Maybe you put the Bills in there as well. Out of those next class of teams under the Patriots, who do you think is the best?
Well, when I look at the AFC North, I see one team coming out of the North making the postseason. I think it's the Ravens. I think if you look at the winless Bengals, they don't have a chance. The Steelers and Browns, in my opinion, have problems with the quarterback. The Steelers are under their third quarterback. You look at the Browns, and Baker Mayfield has turned the ball over more than any other quarterback since the start of last season. So I think he's got 11 picks already this year. So, you know, that's a problem right there. So when I look at this conference, I look at the Buffalo Bills. I really think they've got a chance to be pretty good. The quarterback, I think he's taken the next step in his development year two. The defense has really been steady going back to last season. They're a team to keep an eye on. And then I think, you know, you look at the Houston Texans. I think the Texans got a dynamic quarterback, a defense that can create some negative plays and some turnovers. When you look at, you know, the AFC West, I think it's the Chiefs. Although the Chiefs, you know, they've lost two straight home games to AFC South opponents, and their defense is an issue. If the quarterback Mahomes doesn't have a big day, things get a little muddy for the Chiefs.
Give me your read on the Oakland Raiders, because they began the season with all the AB drama. They fall to 1-2, felt like another lost season, and yet they've won two games in a row. They are now 3-2, above 500, and going into late October. It feels like there's some optimism there. What have you seen from the Raiders and their ability to now kind of have their head above water?
Yeah, I think this is a different team than we saw a season ago that went 4-12. They've gotten younger. I think they've gotten more athletic, a little more team speed. I think they've gotten bigger along the defensive line and offensive line. I still think it's a work in progress. You know, I think they have five straight games away from Oakland, and one of them was in London. So it's going to be a difficult stretch for them. But I did their game against the Colts where they went up to Indy and really got after them. So this Josh Jacobs is a really good player. And, you know, if they can stay healthy up front and run the football, I think they've got a chance to be pretty good. The receiving position is kind of a mess. You know, it seems like you were counting on Antonio Brown. That didn't happen. He was going to be their flanker, which is the most critical position in that West Coast offense. They haven't been able to find a replacement. They keep going out and adding players. They just picked up Zay Jones, you know, a couple weeks ago. They made it a move to pick up Trevor Davis from the Packers. So they've made two trades already at the wide receiver position. You know, defensively, I still think it's a work in progress. The issues that they have had is their inability to create consistent pressure on the quarterback, and that's still been a little bit of a problem here through the first 6 weeks of the season.
Rich Gannon, our guest this morning on the show, talking about the Colts. Frank Reich was passed over a number of times to be a head coach. He finally gets the job, and he has just seemingly overnight turned into one of the better coaches in the NFL. When you sit down and talk to him or you watch one of his games or his team play, what makes Reich so good where people didn't realize he might be this effective?
Well, I think people did realize. I think people have a lot of respect for Frank as a player and as a coach, a position coach. I think he understands team building. I think from an offensive perspective, he's a really good play caller because he wants to be known as a tough, physical football team, and I think starts with, you know, a good line play and running the football. This is a really good offensive line. I mean, this wasn't the same offensive line that Andrew Luck had 3 or 4 years ago where he was getting kidney, bleeding and internal injuries because of how poorly they were up front. You know, Costanza's a first-round pick. Nelson's a first-round pick. Kelly's a first-round pick. Smith, the right tackle, is a second-round pick. So this is they've invested wisely in the front, and they are really good. They're road graders when it comes to the running game. I like Marlon Mack. They've got a couple different backs that they roll through there. Jacoby Brissett's a tough guy. disciplined, makes good decisions, takes care of the football. So, you know, when they're healthy and they've got T.Y. Hilton, they're a different team without T.Y. Hilton. They missed him, obviously, with that quad injury a couple weeks. But, yeah, they're good. And then the other issue that they've had is, you know, obviously not having Darius Leonard. So getting him back is going to be huge for that defense.
Rich Gannon joining us this morning on the show, NFL analyst for the NFL on CBS. He's got Jaguars, Bengals coming up on Sunday. The rest of the CBS lineup, Dolphins and Bills, Texans and Colts, which should be a great one, Raiders and Packers, Jags and Bengals, as we mentioned, and then a late matchup, the Chargers are in Tennessee. All the action this Sunday, starting with that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Rich, I always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing it. Hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. Rich Gannon joining us this morning here on the show. Our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO, 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Falco had tweeted in about his son, Falco Jr., loving the show, but Falco Sr. says, D.A., never bring back Huge Freeze. He's really annoying. I love all the drops. They're really funny, but Huge Freeze is not. Hashtag, how could it happen?
And
Huge Freeze texted me the other day a bet that he's willing to put his body on the line for. Yes, all of that body, all that pasty, blubbery body. It is your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Robbie texts me, asked me how my weekend was at Clemson, which is why he's a good friend. Wanted to know how it was going.
That's not why he texted.
Yes, it was.
That's his in.
He doesn't
That's
care
his
that.
In. He doesn't care. That's a Schwartz move.
He texts, and I quote, "The win-loss game with your brain-dead bleeping producer. Save that audio. 7-9 question mark. Bwah ha 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 ha.
Wow.
Ha ha ha. There was a bwah ha.
You also called me a brain dead producer. At least I could get a full time job here.
Me up so I can stand on mountains. Brain dead bleeping producer.
Sean Marash, who produces the Damon and Mendelara show.
He said, if they go 8-8 or worse, I will fly to Minnesota in the dead of winter and put on a purple Speedo in front of the Viking Stadium.
I am the adult contemporary Huge Freeze.
Holding a Ned Flanders poster. Now, guys, that is far more interesting than the Saturday 4 o'clock wildcard game. Let's face it.
Despacito.
I mean, I still...
Where would you rather be on wildcard weekend than watching Robbie in nothing but a Speedo in the middle of the Minneapolis winter holding a Ned Flanders poster?
Everywhere.
Come on!
I prefer Lions 49ers, but that's Come just on. Me.
Is that so?
No! No! I'm telling you.
But why does anybody need to see that?
Why?
Have you seen why? The size of him?
I have. Why did we need to see you in a pink Speedo in the middle of Central Park?
We didn't. And I thought the Giants would win and we wouldn't have to do that, but we did.
D.A., I don't know why they don't like Huge Freeze. The bet is if they go 8-8 or 7-9, he's going to have to do that.
Okay, and if they don't?
Well.
Then why?
Well, maybe he earns his way back on the show.
Stop it.
What?
By and large, he cleaned up his act. You know, I think Hugh Freeze, for all the negative that Hugh Freeze, you know, draws to his name, I think he did a pretty good job.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
He cleaned up his act. You hear that, guys? It's being bandied around the Jedi Council. Nothing has been decided yet. The Silver Fox tweets, D.A. has Mraz, a.k.a. Piggy Doodle Dandy, the Pharaoh of Fat, ever noticed ever noted that he's almost always wrong when he oinks like this about the Yankees? P.S. I'm playing hooky from work right now to see Bob Seger. Oh, from work tomorrow.
Bob Seger? Get a life, dude.
Working on his night moves.
Bob Seger.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
I mean, 1974 called.
What did you call? You called me dude last week.
Yeah, dude.
You said something.
Yo,
like,
dude, you got to chill.
You got to chill, dude.
I can't think of a worse night than going to see Bob Seger.
Adriana tweets, when I heard this segment, I honestly thought 7-9 had a two-game fluctuation, meaning 8-8 or 9-7 are the possibilities of the Vikings. But my question is, how long do we honestly think Robbie could stand out there before someone calls the cops? This is a serious risk. Hashtag purple drapes. Well, I know this. Mraz and Bilotti would love to see Robbie handcuffed, half-naked, standing outside a stadium, getting thrown into the back of the cop car. So
they'll need purple drapes.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow for a Target Demo Friday. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
Yo, dude, you gotta chill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.